You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Glenn D. Smith, Managing Partner for Glenn D. Smith & Associates and CFP Professional for Raymond James in Flower Mound, Texas. Mr. Smith has worked in the financial services industry since 2004 and offers sound guidance to help clients strategically pursue their financial goals. Mr. Smith, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to do some discussion on these topics with you today.
You bet, and certainly looking forward to hearing what you have to share with us here today. So for starters, what factors should a small business owner evaluate when creating a risk tolerance plan?
That's a very good question. I think there's two factors that business owners need to look at. The first is the risk their risk tolerance, just like any other individual. What would they be comfortable with as far as a drop in the market? 10, 20, 30%? It's very important to do this discussion and planning prior to the market drop. The next thing I would look at is the liquidity needs they have. Can the money be invested for years without being touched? Typically, the longer you have without needing access to your funds, the more risk you can take. On the other hand, some business owners need a significant part of their account liquid for that unforeseeable short-term cash need.
And Mr. Smith, how should a business owner adapt this plan based on the market today?
Sure. Obviously, we're in a bull market right now. However, if I were to acquire a new client right now, we're not going to invest them as if the bull market would never end. That would be doing them a big disservice. We're big believers here in financial plans. We love to run for all our clients or prospects financial plans that include a Monte Carlo, which is a 10,000 hypothetical scenarios, a different market, historical market performances, to show people what they could expect in a good market or bad market. What I want to try to avoid is to have a 30% correction, potentially lose a client 15%, and then have that client upset because they were not comfortable with a 15% drop, even though we might be happy of having lost half of what the market lost relative to how much risk we're taking. So I think it's very important to have firm understanding of what they're comfortable with as far as volatility.
Of course, we always know there's that potential risk. What financial strategies would help to reduce risk?
Diversification, I'm sure, is an overused term, but it's very important. You want to have every asset class out there. However, there are going to be those periods of times where if you're just diversified in stocks, bonds, cash, that may not be enough. The month that we're in right now is a good example of that. Stocks and bonds have both done poorly. And the reason stocks did poorly is interest rates went up, which immediately hurt bonds, as many of your listeners may be aware of. Bonds and interest rates work inversely. So as interest rates go up, depending on the length of maturity of your bond, you're going to lose value on the bonds. So stocks and bonds have done poorly this month. I think one of the keys is when it comes to investing is trying to be as consistent as possible with returns and mitigate and minimize the losses as much as you can. I do seminars often, and one analogy I try to give clients, I say, if you could have your whole net worth, all of your assets, in two portfolios, which would you select? And portfolio A, what it does is it generates a return of 7% per year consecutively for 20 years. Portfolio B will give you a rate of return of 21% the first year, then it loses you 7 the following year, makes you 21 the third, loses you 7 the fourth year, so on for 20 consecutive years. And I'll ask the crowd, at the seminar which one they think they'll give you the greatest increase in your net worth over the 20-year period. Typically, I would say about two-thirds of the people suspect the 21 up, 7 down will give you the greatest increase in your net worth. And then I'll add one piece of information that sometimes will help the crowd or sometimes will confuse them, which is they're both going to average the same. 777 is going to average a rate of return of 7% for those 20 years. 21 up, 7 down, so 21 minus 7 divided by 14, 14 divided by 2 is 7. So they're both going to average 7, but what often people overlooked is the compounded rate of return. The compounded rate of return of the portfolio that's 777 is 7, whereas the compounded rate of return of a portfolio that goes up 21, down 7, up 21, down 7 is 6.08. So I say all that to talk about, yes, diversification, but you want to figure out ways to minimize the bad years, and there's tons of ways to do that. Diversification's a big one. We like to do a lot of what are called structured notes or structured investments where you have protection on the downside depending on the particular one. You could have 30% of the downside if the market's down anywhere from nothing to 30%. You're protected from loss.
Awesome information there today. We're joined by Mr. Glenn D. Smith, managing partner for Glenn D. Smith and Associates and CFP professional for Raymond James in Flower Mound, Texas, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Mr. Smith, many small business owners keep more cash to try to protect their assets. Do you believe this is a smart money move?
The short answer is it typically not, but it depends. It's very common, I will say that, for business owners to have too much cash. Many times they have too much cash because they're concerned their cash flow may deteriorate, the business may deteriorate. They started a business when it was small, and now it's much larger, and they don't want to put themselves in an uncomfortable position should the economy turn. So it makes sense. But more often than not, they have substantially more in cash than they need. So there's several things we try to do is going back to the financial plan, figuring out what do we really need in the business for next, depending on type of business, maybe 6 months, 9 months, a year, in order to last, whether it be a recession or a downturn in that particular field. Then with a part that we do need to have liquid, what are our choices? Money market obviously is the most common one, but often overlooked are treasuries. There's other short-term investments that if somebody, depending on how much they have, it can make a difference. If you have several million in cash making you nothing, whereas you could have 1, 2, 3%, depending on what we're doing, may not move the needle, but most business owners can appreciate making a little bit of money on their hard-earned money that they saved. The other thing is I see common as well. Not only do they have too much in cash, but often it may be in one bank, so they're not covered by FDIC. What we do here is we have a money market that's FDIC protected up to $250,000 if there's one person's name on it. If it's a joint account, it's up to $500,000. Money market, again, not paying a ton because it's a money market, but it's FDIC protected. So that, along with possibly treasuries or other short-term instruments, can help make clients a little bit more money if for what they need to have in cash.
Now, as we briefly touch on retirement saving is often a second thought to business owners who are focused on running their business. How could this negatively impact them?
Well, they're missing out big time, potentially, on the compound interest that they could have been making on that cash. That's why I think it's important to build people a financial plan and show them ink on paper, hey, this is potentially what you're leaving on a table 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if you're making even, let's say, 3 or 4% on that versus 1 or 8% versus 3, depending on how much risk we're taking and what we're trying to accomplish with that chunk of money. Most people, even if they're busy, it's enough to kind of wake them up. If you can show them by taking action today how that helps them achieve that goal, Whereas if you potentially wait a few years to invest, how much later you're going to have to save a much higher dollar amount than you would today in order to achieve your goals. And I can explain it, and I can discuss that with clients, and sometimes it works. But again, when I show them in a financial plan and I show them real numbers, what it's projected to be in 2040 or 2045, that can be very powerful.
Yeah, most certainly there. And any advice on what to do now as a small business owner to better prepare for retirement?
Sure. Well, it's never too late. I would say the first step is to have somebody build you a financial plan. Being a CFP, this is something most CFPs have spent a lot of time focusing on. The analogy I love to give, it's similar to going to a doctor. Typically, a doctor, depending on what surgery or operation they're going to do, they're going to run an X-ray or an MRI. It's very similar in our field. I believe a financial advisor should run a financial plan prior to making recommendations and investing the assets to know where to invest it the wisest, and also to be able to show a client what the projected potentials are, which that's what people focus on as far as returns, but also what the potential downside is. Clients need to have a real comfort level and buy-in as far as what the portfolio is expected to increase in the good years and lose in the bad years. I think one of the biggest mistakes a financial advisor can do is not properly understand a client's risk tolerance. Because if a client invests, they may say, I'm aggressive, but everybody's definition of aggressive is differently. And you invest a client fairly aggressively in the market turns sour, which, again, normally we have a correction about every decade. We have two bear markets. A bear market means a 20% drop or more. You typically have two of those every decade. We're going on 11 years without having one. So it's very important to understand how much a client can take as far as the threshold of pain now in the good times. So when it happens, because it's not if, but when we have that market downturn of 20-30%, and let's say you invested appropriately, a client as far as how much is in stocks, and perhaps they only lost half of what the market did, 15%. But if that client is not comfortable with a 15% drop, even though the market went down 30, what they might do is ask the financial advisor if they're managing their own money. They might put it all into cash. And what happens then? The market recovers, and they never get that money back. So I think you have to do all the work on the front end. The way I use the way I accomplish that is with the plan, in order to show the clients what we're trying to achieve and prepare them. I can tell them, look, in the next 5-6 years, depending on where we are in the cycle, we think we're in the late innings of this bull market. But in the next few years, we're probably going to have a recession, and this is what the market should do. Are you comfortable with this? And this is the time to have those conversations, not after the fact, when you give the money back from the stock market to the stock market. That's not when you want to figure these things out.
Yeah, for sure on that. Well, Mr. Smith, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you. A lot of great information here that's important to anyone tuning in, and especially business owners. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a final tip, anything else you'd like to share in conclusion today?
That's a very good question, and I often get asked this a lot by different people. Anything else I should be asking from potential prospects will ask me that. And my answer is typically – find yourself a financial planner. A lot of people out there will call themselves an advisor, but do research. If you're considering working with an advisor, do research on them. Often, as believe it or not, people will spend more time doing research to find a barber or a dentist than they will a financial advisor. You can do a background check on a financial advisor. There's a website run by FINRA, which is kind of like our policeman. It's called brokercheck.finra.org, and you can punch in that financial advisor's name, where the zip code or the firm they work at, You're going to see their bio, their college education. If they've been sued, a lot of times advisors have been sued. Maybe they declared bankruptcy or DUIs. It doesn't mean you're a bad person, and maybe you still want to work with them, but that might be information that you want to know prior to you pulling the trigger. So my tip is just do research, do due diligence. You're going to spend many years of your life working. At least spend a few weeks doing research on finding somebody that you feel comfortable with, that and do a background check on them. Yeah, that would be my tip.
And sound advice and a great tip in conclusion. Can't thank you enough for that as well. Where can listeners get further details on your firm and also be in touch accordingly?
Sure. Well, I have a website. I'm located in Flower Mound, Texas, and my website's Glenn, with one N, dsmithandassociates.com. We have seminars throughout the year, and we offer complimentary reviews. If anybody would like to see what we do, we can run the financial plan. There's no cost whatsoever. Of course, we do it to try to show people our value, but there's no catch. We'd be happy to help out. The number here is 469-212-8072. Thank you so much, Eric.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. And again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was wonderful.
Hey, you bet it was. We've been speaking with Mr. Glenn D. Smith, managing partner for Glenn D. Smith & Associates and CFP professional for Raymond James in Flower Mound, Texas. And for further details, visit Glenn D. Smith & Associates.com. All links will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. And again, this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.